Years ago, when I was raised in church, I was taught a lot of very good things. Those of you that were raised in a church that taught you how to be born again, you also were taught a lot of very good things. But along with that, I was taught some things that weren't right, but the people that were teaching me didn't know that those things weren't right. They were only teaching what they had been taught. And we all believed what we were being taught. And we were, you know, convinced that we were right, just like you were convinced you were right in the church where you were raised. And one of the things that I have found is that the call of God on a person's life is not what motivates God to move in that person's life. See, everybody has a call of God. Doesn't matter who you are. You're called to be an evangelist or a pastor or a whatever. But you do have a call of God upon your life. That call alone is not what motivates God to move in your life. And along with that, He doesn't look out at certain people and say, I like you better than this person over here. And so therefore, what I'm going to do is I am going to exalt you in ministry because I like you. No, it doesn't work like that as well. It seems like it sometimes, but it doesn't work that way. We have been, in the body of Christ, raised with a certain type of spiritual numbness to where it's difficult for us. Well, when I say us, I don't mean just those of us here in this church. I mean in general Christianity. It's difficult for us to determine who is and is not being promoted by God. Because when we see these great big ministries, whether it's churches or they have traveling ministries, we assume that because the ministry is big, God is the one who made it big. Well, what about the Jehovah's Witness? That's big. There's a great big church out in Salt Lake City. Really big church. Big choir. Lots of musicians. They sound good. They sound really good. But did God do it? What about, well, I could go on, so could you. But within the body of Christ, we have, it's a weird thing. It's like we have developed this tunnel vision to where if somebody names the name of Jesus and they fit our description of what is right concerning doctrine, then if what they have is very big, we just assume that's a good thing. God's done this. So I believe that. You too. Maybe not anymore. But I believed that. And it took me a long time to understand that big is not always of God. It took me a long time to accept that growth. Well, I'm talking about with a church, like church growth or ministry growth, is not always of God. It took me a long time to understand that no matter how good it looks and how good it tastes, it's not always good for you. And even to this day, there are times when I sit back and I scratch my head when I see things happening in other churches. And I can remember one time talking to God about this, and I didn't mean to complain. And there are times when I'll talk to Him about some of these things, and I'll just tell Him up front, I'm not trying to complain, and I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm complaining. I'm just sharing my heart here. And I was talking about other churches. It's like, God, there's no way they're praying, you know. And He asked me the question, well, He kind of asked, spoke, whatever. He said, you really don't know how much they're praying. even if this is a church where I really have a good idea that they're not, but he's right. I don't know how much they're praying. I don't know how much they're reading the Bible. So even if I am right, he's not wanting me to focus on what I perceive they are or are not doing behind closed doors. He's wanting me to look at what I'm doing. And it's sometimes very easy to get caught up, even for some of you, because I've had conversations with people in this church to where things have come up about what others are doing, and I don't have to ask you. I know that there are some of you, you sat back and wondered, what's going on here? Why aren't we seeing, you know, whatever? And I've asked the same thing, so, you know, you're not alone. We're all in this together. Well, you know, you want to see things change, but at the same time, you don't want to get ahead of God. Received a phone call one time from a company, and they were talking about how that they've worked with other churches and they've helped other churches increase their attendance by as much as 150%. And I'm thinking, okay. I didn't want to do their gimmick, but I was interested in what they do. And it was a recording. You know, it wasn't live, it was a recording. Well, what it was, they sell church signs. And they were talking about those electronic signs, you know what I'm talking about, where, you know, the words go across and all that. And I thought, you know what, I don't care what kind of sign we put out there, that's not going to cause our attendance to increase 150%. And besides that, the way our sign is located, if you're headed from the west to the east, you don't have time to read that sign. You only have enough time to pick up about 5 to 7 words, and that's it. You can't read any more on that sign because of all the bushes over here on the other properties that block your vision. So, why? Anyway, one of the things that I prided myself on was the church wherein I was raised, because at that time, we were the largest church of our denomination in the state. And we had, our choir was excellent. We had a lot of reputation within the denomination and so forth. And that was a badge of honor for all of us who were faithfully committed to that church. And yet, we did not know how to seek God for His will. We just didn't have any clue. I mean, when people tell you that God doesn't speak anymore, that He stopped speaking once the Bible was given, well, why should you expect to hear God speak? And you know, at the time, we thought that made sense. And we looked back, and I looked back on it, and it's like, boy, that wasn't good. But we believed it. We accepted it. And so we didn't look for God to speak. Well, time goes on, and you know, I got out in the world. I turned my back on God, walked away from Him, and got out there. And I've told you before, a bunch of sin. I earned a doctorate in sin. And I started going back to this. My mom and dad had left the church of our denomination and started attending, you know, a full gospel church. Well, what happened? Mom started watching 700 Club. And because Pat Robertson had come out of the same denomination that our church was a part of, she gave him an ear. And, you know, he's talking about things we never heard of in our church. So she got very curious and decided, well, she's going to find a church that is like that. And she did. And so I asked her, well, you know, do they have a softball team? And she said, well, I think they're going to have one for the first time this year. So I said, all right. So, I mean, back then, softball was it for me. So I started attending the church, and boy, oh boy, did I have my eyes opened. I saw things that weren't supposed to be happening. It's like, there's no way that person really got healed, but I can't deny that they're not all humped over anymore, or whatever it was, you know? Tongues and interpretation. I mean, just all, and a presence of God I'd never, ever sensed. And I had not yet made a decision to come back to God. I just wanted to play softball. And so I know for certainty there were times where I had been out Saturday night, you know, boozing it up, smoking it up, carousing it up, and I'd show up church the next morning just so I could play softball. Well, and I won't even tell you that one. That wasn't very nice. But anyway, I realized even then there's something more about God that I never knew. Well, time goes on, and meet Kathy. We fall in love. She gets saved. I recommit my life to Jesus, and we started attending that church. And as we're attending it, I realized, you know, this is for real, what's going on here. It absolutely is for real. So not only did I recommit my life to God, but I made a decision that I wanted to experience what I had been taught against for so many years. I wanted this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, I really didn't know a whole lot about it, not like I do today. But I knew it wasn't anything to be afraid of, and I knew it wasn't anything spooky. I just knew it was like stepping into a realm of God's power that I had been kept from all those years. And that's, you know, Jesus said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And sadly, too many people focus on, you know, well, yes, we'll get, you know, the blind will see and the lame will walk. And that's true. It absolutely is true. But it's also power for other things. As in, power for whatever you need. So, I, you know, went forward and the fellow prayed for me and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking in tongues. And boy, I'm telling you, it was a great experience. And that, really, it was like I had stepped into a great big room of God that had stuff in this room I'd never known before. And it wasn't that I wasn't any longer on the outside as a Christian, kind of looking at some things through the door or through the window that were happening in that room. Now I'm in that room. It's like, man, this is cool. And even though I'd been born again prior to that, being filled with the Holy Spirit, once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like a renewing of my salvation. It's just a hard way to describe it, but it was like I knew I had gone deeper into God. Now, born again's born again. And, you know, God, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, God loves you the same. There's no difference in this. He's your child. He loves you. And you're not less of a Christian. Some people have accused me of preaching that if you don't speak in tongues, you're less of a Christian. And you can listen to every sermon I've ever preached. I have never come close to saying anything like that, ever. But people interpret what they want to interpret. They hear what they want to hear, and they twist words, you know, the way they want to twist them. But the thing is, I knew something had happened to me, something powerful. So time goes on, and there was a renewed hunger in me for the things of God. And I wanted to listen to everything I could hear or read about faith, about, well, I mean, everything. Just like all the stuff I'd never heard. I wanted to, you know, crash course. You know, just force feed it. And boy, it was great. And, you know, in the process, I learned some things that were wrong, especially in the area of the prosperity. Learned a lot of things that were wrong. But, you know, that got corrected. And as time went on, I began wondering about these people that say things like, you know, I can hear from God. Well, I didn't doubt them. I mean, I'm now at this place of knowing God does speak. This thing, if he doesn't speak anymore, He talks. He speaks. So, this intrigued me. Because the way I looked at it, if He speaks, then I want to hear Him. And I don't want to simply hear Him through somebody else's tongues and interpretation. I want to hear Him for myself. And I knew that it wasn't going to be like in that movie, The Ten Commandments. Moses. It wasn't going to be like that. I knew that it was going to be something else. It was going to be a silent voice. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's going to be a silent voice to where nobody else would hear it, but I would hear it. So I wanted that. And not only that, but I wanted to know what God wanted me to do. I wanted to know God's will. I wanted to know the direction He had for my life. So I lived for years wondering about this, and I wasn't committed 100% to figuring out what is God's will for my life. Even though, not long after Kathy and I got married and were in this church, I think it was within the first couple of years, 2-3 years, they opened a branch of a Bible college there, and we enrolled and we attended. And I enjoyed it. And that was my first experience with higher education from a Christian perspective. And I did learn a lot. But I wanted more. I wanted more. And there were a lot of people that were like me. They were frustrated. The kind of frustration, it's like, you know, you do what you can. You try. But at the same time, you feel like there's more. But you don't know what that more is. And you don't know how to find the more. You ever been in your house and you smell something? And you don't like what you smell and you try to find it. And you're looking everywhere to try and find it. Until, you know, finally you realize it's something in the trash or the refrigerator or, you know, your shoes or something. I don't know. Or you ever hear a noise? Yeah. You know, recently, at night, only at night, we've been hearing this beeping sound outside. And I remember one night, I'm laying there in bed. I forget where Kathy was, with her mother or something. I don't know. I'm laying there in bed, and I hear this beep, 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 beep. And it was outside. And you know, I'm laying there. I want to go to sleep, but I'm wide awake because beep, beep. And I get up and I look outside, and I don't see anything. And it stops. Oh, hallelujah. So I lay down. A few minutes later, beep, beep. This went on and on. It's still going on. And the best that we can figure out is that it's coming from the construction work they're doing on Route 35. And they're only doing it third shift. And it's the construction trucks backing up and going forward, backing up and going forward. That's the best idea we've come up with. It's irritating. Here's what I'm getting at. It was one of those, okay, there's something there, but where is it, and how do I find it? And that's what it was for me, and so many of the other Christians. We would talk about what God is doing, talk about the great services. But when it came down to us, we didn't know. And it was like this for a long time. Well, finally through prayer and seeking God and kind of getting along with God, I began to realize that He had called me into ministry. And it wasn't a whole long time later. I mean, it was, well, I forget exactly how long, but anyway, you know, I was praying and asking God about power and asking Him, you know, how do you get this power? These people, they pray for folks, they get healed, and stuff on television, all these different preachers and so forth, you know. Is it just for some people or can anybody tap into this? And I said, you know, preachers like, and I began to, you know, just give Him names of preachers. over the next 2 weeks, and I wasn't looking for the answers, but over the next 2 weeks, either in a book, in a magazine, or on a tape, I mean, this is back with cassette tapes, every one of those preachers that I named by name, they said the key to walking in power was praying in tongues. Now, that's not a coincidence. I mean, it would have been one thing if I'd have heard that, but when I heard it from every single one of the preachers that I named in prayer and it happened within 2 weeks' time, that is not an accident. But not only that, I heard from a preacher I'd never heard of, Dave Roberson. And I found a set of his tapes. I started listening to these tapes. He said the same thing. And not only did he say that the key to walking in the power was praying in tongues, but he went on in this tape set, this teaching series, to explain why it was the key. And I thought, well, I don't have anything to lose here. Because if all these people are saying the same thing, and then this guy comes along and puts the icing on the cake, and he says the same thing, and now here's why, how can I be missing God by doing this? Because, I mean, he used scripture and script. I mean, you know, when you read through the Bible, you read everything there is in the Bible to read. And passages that I'd read before but didn't understand the way he explained it, when he began explaining it, it was like the lights were going off one after the other. It's like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, that is it. Well, where'd that come from? Who put that verse in there? And I understood it, and I thought, okay, I'll do this. So I started praying in tongues. And I prayed in tongues a lot. You know, at that time, I was working a secular job. And I would, sometimes I'd ride the bus. We were right on the bus line. I worked in downtown Dayton. Sometimes I'd just ride the bus. And as I would ride the bus, I'd pray in tongues. Well, you know, other people on the bus, too. So I would just, you know, barely whisper the prayer and, you know, try so hard not to move my lips much and kind of, you know, sit like this with my hand up, you know. But I'm trying to redeem the time. When I would take my break, I'd take a walk out in downtown. It was early in the morning, hardly anybody there. And I'd, again, you know, pray very softly in tongues. Same thing on the way home when I would get home and I'd pray in the Spirit. And, you know, in the shower, I'd pray in the Spirit because I figured, how can I lose? If the Holy Spirit has given this gift to me, and it's identified as a form of prayer in Scripture, how can I miss it? How? So, you know, I'm praying this way, and I'm praying this way. The craziest thing began to happen. I prayed for people, and they would get healed. It's like, wow. Let's do this again. Get sick again, real quick. Let me pray. I would pray for people and they get healed. And it surprised me, but it didn't surprise me. Because I was told the key to walking in the power is praying in tongues. Therefore, I had an expectation that something would happen, power-wise. And sure enough, it did. But something else began to happen. I began to hear God speak. And I've had people ask me about this over the years. You know, well, how do you hear God speak? I want to hear God speak too. And I've tried my best to share, you know, to try and explain this. And I remember somebody here, they've been struggling for a long time. I don't mean here, but there was a person been struggling for a long time. You know, we're emailing back and forth. And one of the things that I have found is that a lot of Christians who say they can't hear God, they're trying too hard to hear Him. That doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean. They're trying too hard to hear Him. And it's like they're listening for something that they're not going to hear. And so the Lord helped me to explain it to him like this. I said, because he was talking about, you know, other sounds and everything, and he can't hear God. And I said, you know, if you can be in where the distracting noise is, but still hear yourself talk to yourself, if you can still hear your own, you know, thinking, you know what I'm talking about when you think to yourself. If you can still hear that, then you can hear God speak. And it's like, boom, he got it. He understood. And that's the way it is. Because if you can hear yourself think, you know, you're watching a ball game on TV, it's like, in your mind, you think, why did he swing at that pitch? Or why did he take that shot? Or why did he throw that pass or something? And you're thinking that on the inside, and you can hear yourself, all right, then you can hear God. When you're driving down the road, somebody pulls out in front of you, and you know what you think. If you can hear yourself think that, you can hear God. Because that's where he speaks. It's on the inside. And it's going to be a voice you're comfortable with. He's not going to, you know, start speaking to you with a British accent. I say, old chap. Now, if you're from England, you're going to hear the British accent. You know, you're not going to hear somebody from Texas. Hey there, how you doing, bud? I'm going to tell you something about your future. Hey, Pilgrim, how you doing? It's not like that. But if you can hear yourself, you can hear him. That's how he speaks. Well, this whole thing of praying in the Spirit, I was thinking about this. And I'm going to share a word with you that the Lord shared with me this afternoon. And I began to think about this whole thing of praying in tongues and how that we tell on ourselves. Now, here's what I mean. If you've been a part of this ministry for any length of time, you have heard a lot of teaching about praying in tongues. Now, that's for those of you who are here live and in person, or those of you watching, or those who just listen a lot to the messages, you've heard a lot of teaching about praying in tongues. And I know, simply, it's like I can sense that there are times when some people, it's like, oh, we're going to hear more about praying in tongues. Okay, my question would be, why does that bother you? Why would you find that, oh brother, here we go again. Why would you have that kind of a response? It's because maybe you aren't praying. Because for me, I can sit and I can listen to somebody teaching again about praying in tongues. It edifies me. I am exhorted with that teaching. Because it's inevitable, somehow, some way, I'll hear something a little bit different than what I've heard in the past. And it motivates me to want to pray more. Because look, I don't care who you are, Satan is going to fight you in this. One of the things that that he's shown me, God, not Satan, one of the things that he's shown me is that we really, as born-again, Spirit-filled, yes, I believe in praying in tongues people, we don't really grasp the concept of praying in tongues. Somebody once said something to the effect of, you believe praying in tongues is the answer to everything. And I said, well, yeah, pretty much. So then, if somebody believes in and understands about praying in tongues, why would such a comment be made? Well, you believe praying in tongues is the answer to everything, okay? Why would I believe that? Because I have experienced to a degree what it does. Therefore, yeah, I believe, because the Bible says that when we're praying in tongues, I mean, Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 14. He said when we're praying in tongues, we're praying the mysteries. We're praying out the mysteries of God. You say, well, what do you mean the mysteries of God? Is there anything about God you don't know? Well, yeah, there's a lot about God. That's what you're praying. Is there anything about Scripture you don't understand? Well, yes, that's what you're praying. Is there anything about you that you don't understand? Everything that you don't understand, God's working with you to help you understand it by praying in the Spirit. There are so many Christians who know this. In other words, they've heard the teaching and they could turn right around and tell it to somebody else. But their lives don't bear the fruit of the prayer. Because as you're praying in tongues, it is impossible not to change. It is impossible to not have an encounter with God. If you have a pattern of praying in tongues in your life, it is impossible to not hear God. It's impossible to go through life and not be able to hear Him if you're praying. If you're praying in tongues and you know that you're praying out the mysteries, in Romans chapter 8 it talks about how that when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit will pray for us. He helps us in the area of our infirmities. Well, what's an infirmity? Well, let's just say an infirmity is this. Anything about you that's hindering you fulfilling everything God wants you to do. So therefore, since I know to pray in tongues, and I know what it will do, and I know that that kind of prayer will edify me. It's impossible to pray in tongues and not be edified. If I spend 10 minutes of praying in tongues, I'm edified for 10 minutes. It's impossible for this not to happen. It's a guarantee. It will happen. So, if I know that, and I've known it for 15 years, but I'm still dealing with the same old me, do you know what's going on? I'm not praying. Because the change will come. When I'm praying in tongues, I cannot keep myself from having an encounter with God. Because the moment I open my mouth and I begin to pray in tongues, I'm having an encounter with God. Because I can't make that language up. That means God's moving on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit, and a language is coming out that is it's being formulated in heaven at the very throne of God. I'm having an encounter with God. Oh, I just wish that I could feel God move. You start praying in tongues, you are feeling God move. You say, well, how do you figure that? Isn't your mouth moving? Your tongue? In other words, there's a language coming out that's a result of a move of God. You're encountering Him. And it's interesting how I get around some folks and they'll talk about how that, you know, well, yes, I'm praying in tongues. But, I mean, they're still going, it's the same issues, the same attitudes, the same whatever. It's like, but it's been 10 years. You're not. You know, ma'am, I'm sorry. You know, 8 years and no change? No, you're not. Because you're talking to somebody who's been there. Now, listen, I'm not going to stand up here and exalt myself and make you think that I'm something that I'm not. Because I still have to pray. I still need to pray. I still have to grow and develop. Well, the more I don't pray is the more I don't know. And the more I don't know is the less I can do. There was a verse here. I want to read this to you. In Hosea chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not lack of defense, not lack of power, not lack of anything else. Lack of knowledge. Well, what kind of knowledge? Well, obviously, he can't be talking exclusively here about human knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, think about that. When you think of the word here, destroyed, don't think in terms of, you know, killed. I mean, it could be, yes. Think in terms of you're just going nowhere. Think in terms of you are destroying what God wants to do in your life because of the lack of knowledge. And here's God up in heaven, and he's saying, look, I'll give you all the knowledge you need. I will impart this to you. I mean, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask me. I'll give it to you. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Now, as I'm reading this, it was like he was using this to give me an example. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, so then if I don't have knowledge, there is destruction working in my life. And he says, because you have rejected knowledge. Well, how can I reject knowledge? Now think about this. By refusing to pray in the Spirit. Because if I know ahead of time that when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is imparting information to me, or He's working in me to bring about change, if I know that, and I don't do it, I'm rejecting that knowledge. And he says, because you have rejected knowledge, well, think about this. What does that say then about all the Christians and churches which refuse to acknowledge the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues? What's that say about them? You know, it's so hard for us to want to believe that those churches and those Christians are not operating at a level that God desires. But the bottom line is this. Okay, let me say it like this. If Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, why in the world would I say I don't? At what point did I become higher than Jesus? And see, that's one that, quite frankly, if you just, even if you don't believe in tongues and all this stuff, if you just stop and think about that, was he the Son of God? Yes, he was the Son of God. Was he God in the flesh? Yes, he was God in the flesh. Then why in the world did he need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? if he's everything that you say he is, which I'm assuming that what you say is scriptural, and yet he needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now here I am. You say I don't? Well, you know, you get people all fired up over that. But if he needed it, the way I figure, so do I. I need this too. But he says, look, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that thou shalt be no priest to me. In other words, this is going to have an impact on you fulfilling your ministry. It's going to have an impact on you really living the fullness of the life that God has designed for you. If you don't know what life He's designed, how can you live it? And he says, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. And as an illustration, using that, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. What then for us would be the law of our God concerning what we're looking at here tonight? 1 Corinthians 14 says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, my understanding is unfruitful. Okay, that's a law of God. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when I pray in tongues, I'm edifying myself. That is a law of God. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying out the mysteries of God. That is a law of God. Romans 8 says, when I don't know how to pray as I ought, the Holy Spirit will help me pray for those things according to the will of God. That is a law of God. Jude says that when I pray in tongues, I build myself up on my most holy faith. That is a law of God. So if I ignore those laws cannot be enforced in my life. I will not get the benefit from them. And he says, I'll also forget thy children. And I'm thinking, well, now, I don't like that idea. I don't want my kids to be forgotten, but I want you to see this as imagery. All of those who are under you that you are teaching, I will not be able to move in their lives the way that I desire because you're directing them away from the law of God, just like you've directed yourself away. And so this has a trickle-down effect. I can remember one time I was 12 years old. I was at home, and there was some kind of a conference that took place here in this city, and it was within the denomination of our church. And, you know, we didn't believe in tongues and any of that. And Mom was telling me how that, this was a conference where a lot of different people came in. And I don't, I mean, I have no recollection of, you know, what it was about or anything, but Mom told me that at one of the services that somebody stood up and began speaking in tongues. And that apparently they counseled this person that that's not right. You know, those things aren't supposed to be done. Now, you know, listen. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, nobody's going to be able to, well, nobody should be able to counsel you that it's wrong. I mean, there's going to have to be some powerful deception there to get you to turn away from that. And I'm listening to this, and Mom's telling me that, and well, I mean, I just believed her. But now I know differently. And so, what we're seeing here in the Word of God is that if we don't pray in the Spirit, we will not get the benefits that come with praying in the Spirit. It's not going to happen, ever. That's just like, you know, if you don't marry somebody, you don't get the benefits of the marriage. If you don't eat the steak, you don't get the benefits of the steak. If I don't pray in tongues, I don't get the benefit of praying in tongues. And he began, well, I'm just going to read this to you, what he said. I sit back and watch with great sadness as so many of my children neglect the greatness of their salvation and the power of my life in them. My heart cries out to them as they struggle from day to day to serve me when the ability to serve me has already been birthed in them. I watch with dismay as those born of my Spirit, my very own offspring, reject my word and depend on man to give them the full understanding of who they are in me. My word has never changed, yet so many of my children reject portions of my word in favor of what they think they understand with their limited knowledge. What family do you know of wherein the parents would allow their 6, 8, and 10-year-old children to vote on what rules they will obey? And I'm thinking about that when he said it. It's like, yeah, that's how we look to him. A bunch of kids, a bunch of children that take the word of our Father and vote on it. And decide what is and is not right, even though it's recorded in Scripture. Is that not arrogant? As God, should I not have the final say in all matters? Do you not realize that my word is my final say? My heart aches as I watch so many of my children wander aimlessly through life, never fully knowing what I want them to do. So many have the right attitude and desire to live according to my will, but they do not know my will, and therefore they develop their own well-meaning plans that they call my will. You cannot know my will and desires for your life if I do not convey them to you. I will say that again, but differently. It is impossible for you to know my will and desires for your life if you do not receive that information from me. Now I ask you, how do you think you can receive that information from me? Boy, is that a loaded question or what? Because depending on who you ask, you'll get all kinds of crazy answers. This is one of the reasons why you have all these Christians running around wanting to get into services where the prophets are ministering, to get a word from the Lord. Well, you can get a word from the Lord. Just get with Him. In what would seem to be very confusing, Many of my children have heard much teaching about praying in the Holy Spirit, yet they do not take advantage of that gift and pray. Have you not fully grasped that you are in constant communication with me as you pray in tongues? So many have cried out that they want to hear me speak and want to receive direction from me. Yet, in my word, I have made it clear that you can learn to hear my voice and receive direction from me as you pray in the Spirit. The truth is, a person who truly believes praying in tongues will produce a change is a person who will pray. Do you realize how easy it is to pray in tongues? It is the most uncomplicated thing you can do to produce spiritual growth. I do not even require that you give direct mental focus when you pray in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is much easier than fasting. Hallelujah. Yes, I bear witness with that. Praying in tongues is much easier than fasting, worship, or meditating in my word. Yes, you benefit more by getting alone to pray. But praying while involved with other things will benefit you more than you comprehend. Answers for so many of the questions you have about me, my word, and my will for your life are waiting at the threshold of prayer. If you will pray, these answers will be imparted to your heart. Yes, I say that the answers are standing in wait even at this moment to be released unto you. Make a decision that you will no longer walk in any form of confusion, hopelessness, or lack of knowledge and understanding. Pray in tongues, and I, as God the Holy Spirit, will completely turn your life around. Hallelujah. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this, a question would come up. What would it take to get you to pray? What would it take? I know of a friend of mine who attends the prayer center in Tulsa. He went to Pastor Dave Roberson. And he said, look, I want to know something. You know, I'm trying to get my kids to pray. He said, if I pay them to pray, will that count? And, you know, Pastor Dave said, well, yeah, I mean, if they pray, it's going to count no matter what. So what this guy did is, like, for an allowance or something, he would give the kids money if they would spend a certain amount of time to pray in tongues. Well, don't get any ideas. I have no intentions of paying you to pray. The point I'm getting at is this. As he's sharing all of this with me, I'm seeing, we believe it, but we really don't believe the change that's going to happen when we start praying in tongues. There's something about it, we're not yet fully convinced that everything the Bible says will take place is going to take place. It's like we believe the Bible, we're not calling God a liar, but it's like we're not yet fully convinced it'll happen to me. Oh, it'll happen for everybody else, but, you know, I'm not so sure it's going to happen to me. Now, that's not how we think, but that's how we live. Seriously. You know, when Kathy and I first met, man, I tell you what, I sat down and I plotted my attack. It's like, no joke. When we met, first night we met, and I got her phone number. I, on purpose, did not call her for like 3 days. Maybe four. Because I wanted her to, you know, I didn't want her to think that I was some kind of nutcase. You know, some guy that was just going to bug her. You know, does that make any sense? I was trying to play it cool, you know. But my hand was reaching for the phone. It's like, no, you're not calling her today. So anyway, you know, I ended up, I called her and we went out and later on, you know, I mean, later on after the fact, we're married. She goes, you know, you didn't call me the next day and then you didn't call me the day after that. I'm starting to wonder, does he like me? Does he like me? It's like, yeah, it worked. But, and then she went on vacation with a friend of hers. They had already planned this vacation out. And I knew when she was supposed to get back, what day she's supposed to come home. So I went over there. I went like Hallmark, bought one of those, you know, lovey-dovey cards. And I taped it to the door of her apartment so that when she got there, you know, it'd be there. I either taped it, slid it under the door or something. In other words, I mean, I was really trying to be meticulous about this because I wanted that relationship. Well, you know, here we are over 30 years later, glory to God. I got that relationship. Hallelujah. Now, what if I plotted and planned the same way about praying in the Spirit? What if I paid as much attention to that as I did to the relationship I was trying to develop with Kathy? The truth of the matter is, if we were to pray in tongues for 10 minutes and then empty a hospital the next day, we'd be more motivated. We'd also end up destroyed by pride. We have to understand God is doing for us what He knows is best for us as we pray in the Spirit. It is an act of faith. Because when I pray and I don't think I'm seeing any results, then I can say, well, this is stupid. It ain't working. But God says every time I open my mouth, I begin to pray, all the things we've talked about tonight are happening. It is an act of faith. Because the more I pray, the more I pray, the more I pray, then you know what's going to happen? I will start bearing the fruit of that prayer. It has to happen. Now look, one of the downsides to all of this here tonight is that you didn't know me years ago. A lot of people would look at me and say, well, yeah, I mean, of course he's supposed to say that. I mean, you know, he's the pastor. Listen, I wouldn't be a pastor. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. My ministry, just my life, I mean, it would not be like this if I hadn't prayed in the Spirit. And this is, and the thing is, though, there are people that know me before. They don't know me now. I'm talking about people that I've known in my Christian life over the last 30 years. They knew how I was back then, but they don't know how I am now. And I'm not trying to brag on myself. What I'm saying is, this praying in tongues stuff, it works. I mean, it really works. And I had to come to the place in my own life of convincing myself that even if I'm not seeing, you know, some kind of halo glow all over me when I get up in the morning, the bottom line is, when I prayed in tongues yesterday, something about my life changed. Now, I don't know fully what it was, but something changed. And the change was a God change. And I am more like Jesus today than I was 2 days ago because of the time I spent in prayer yesterday. Now, even if that's only 1 ounce closer, I'm still closer. Even if that's 1 inch nearer, I'm still nearer. I'm still making progress. You can't not make progress when you pray like this. And this message tonight, the goal is to encourage us, you and me, encourage us. We're not wasting our time when we pray in the Spirit. Satan will do everything he can to get you to stop praying because he sees the results. Well, too bad for him. Maybe good for him that he sees the results. But be encouraged. You're changing. Every time you pray in the Spirit, you're changing. And you're becoming more like Jesus. And you're going to start hearing God more and more clearly. and your walk with Him is going to become everything that He desires. The bottom line is this: praying in tongues is the easy way. Thank God for it. I don't like complicated. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand. Now, as far as I know, everybody in this room is filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can pray in tongues. So now just do it. But those of you watching, I don't know if you are. Maybe you're not. It's an easy thing to be praying in tongues. You just receive this gift from the Holy Spirit. But you have to use your energy. You have to move your mouth. You have to inhale and exhale. You have to move your tongue. And you have to make the sounds and so forth. Because He won't force it. And I'm going to lead in a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what God wants to do for you. And at the end of this prayer, I'm going to start praying in tongues. You just pray along with me. And you may think, well, what am I supposed to say? I use terminology we can relate to just to try to help explain it. It's like you're going to be trying to speak in baby talk. You'll be trying, like you're pretending you're speaking in a foreign language. But it's going to be God birthing this in you. So I'm going to lead in this prayer. And everybody here, I'm going to ask you all to just, you know, pray along. And then at the end of the prayer, when I start praying in tongues, you just pray in tongues as well. Now pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You're my Savior. And I ask You right now to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I receive You into my life. And I ask You to give to me the gift of praying in tongues. I receive this gift from You, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just go ahead and begin to pray out in tongues. Just go ahead and pray out loud. Don't worry if it sounds like me or it doesn't. It's what God's doing through you. Now you just keep praying in tongues, and while you're praying in tongues, just listen to me. I want to send you a gift, a free gift. It's a book entitled The Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power. And it's going to go into more detail about praying in tongues and what happens when you pray in tongues and why you should pray in tongues. Our address is there at our website. Write to me, and then we will send this book to you, no charge whatsoever. It will be our gift to you to help you and encourage you in this walk with God. And the rest of this night, spend some more time praying in tongues. You can pray in tongues when you take a shower, when you're driving your car, when you're outside cutting the grass. And it doesn't have to be really loud. It can just be, you know, barely a whisper. The key is to pray and let the Holy Spirit work in you. Praise God.